Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
Hello and welcome to the Business Rescue Roadmap. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel, and on today's show, we have Julia Pinsler joining us. She is the founder and CEO of Little Pim, the leading language teaching method for young children, and author of Million Dollar Women. It's the essential guide for female entrepreneurs who want to go big, which shows you how to turn that creative idea into a million-dollar plus business. Julia shares her inspiring story of building her own company and raising millions in capital in a guide for women like her who have a great idea and need to find the resources to take it into the big leagues. Julia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Stacy. I'm excited to be here with you.
Oh, great. Well, I'm so excited to have you. Now, is there anything I missed in your bio? Anything you want to share with my listeners?
No, you covered most of it. The only thing I'm really fired up about right now is I just launched a Million Dollar Women Masterclass, an online course, so that women who are ready to go to that million dollar mark and get there faster can start learning how to do that. It's a lot of the lessons that I put in the book, Million Dollar Women. But look, I'm an entrepreneur. I read hundreds of business books, and you have these big aha moments when you read the books. And then sometimes you close them and you go back to doing things just the way you did them before. That ever happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. All the time, especially in today's world where there's so many courses and everything catches my eye. So I completely get what you're saying.
Yeah. So I wanted to make it easy for the women who really are ready to go big to have a community of other women they can go big with. And so I basically created this mini business school called the Million Dollar Women Masterclass that I just launched this week. So that's top of mind for me.
Well, congratulations. And it definitely sounds like something people really need who are constantly educating themselves. So I love that idea.
Yeah. And you touched on one of my favorite things about being an entrepreneur, which is really being a lifelong learner. You know, it was so exciting to start my business and then all the things I had to learn to do to scale it up. And now my new Million Dollar Women endeavor is sort of like another startup. So I'm back at it. And I think it's one of the things I love most about entrepreneurship, just the lifelong learning.
Yeah. And the startup phase, it's never going to get bored or old. It's just always constantly learning. So I agree with you 100%. Well, let me dive into our questions if you're ready to begin. And
sure.
The first section I call is commit to win or cut your losses. So let me kind of take you back to a story that maybe you could share with us. When you were deciding to start your business, what were things that you contemplated when you maybe in fact said to yourself, should I commit to win and move forward, or do I need to cut my losses and start something else?
You know, I had a young baby at home when I started my business, Little Pim. In fact, it was my older son, Emmett, who inspired me to start the business. When he was born, I knew I wanted to teach him French because I grew up bilingual in French and English. And that was just one of the best gifts that my parents gave me. I was always able to do well in one subject because I was fluent. I don't even remember learning. I learned fluent French before the age of 6. And I got access to scholarships and work opportunities that I never could have gotten had I not been bilingual. So I went out to find him some great program to help him learn French as a, you know, baby and toddler. And there was just nothing on the market for little kids to learn how to speak a foreign language. You had to take them to expensive language classes or bring in a nanny or a babysitter from another country. So I thought there was a real gap in the market there and set out to create the first language teaching program for young children. You may or may not know that kids 0 to 6 are amazing at learning foreign languages. Did you know that, Stacey?
Yeah, I have 2 young kids at home, and I'm a big reader. So I've read lots of baby books and things that encourage you to pick up another language. So I am very familiar.
Oh, great. Yeah, they're just sponges before the age of 6, especially. They can learn up to 3 languages, perfect accent. And so I decided to create the first language teaching program for young kids called Little Pim. And Little Pim is actually a little panda bear who speaks all 13 of the languages that we teach. And, you know, the concern for me was we weren't independently wealthy. You know, we had a 2-income household with my husband, and I was really nervous to quit my job. I had a well-paying job as a fundraiser for nonprofits. So I just did Little Pim on the side for the first 1.5 years or so. I hired one woman who I met off Craigslist, found her on Craigslist. She was terrific and set her up in an office where she worked just a couple of days a week, keeping the trains running on time. And I didn't quit my job until the money really started coming in for Little Pim. And I saw that we weren't going to go any further with it until I worked full time.
Right. And I always encourage people to do that when you have that business on the side, not just to jump completely 100% in and quit your day job. I mean, if you don't have the income to support you, it's not a great idea, especially if you have a family at home that you're taking care of with that income.
I couldn't agree more. But there's so many hours in the day that you can find once you really are committed to an idea and passionate about it. You know, I was working before I left for the office at lunch hour. I'd be jumping back on the phone, you know, helping with orders and whatnot, orders of the product. Because I'm sorry, I didn't mention it was a DVD series when we initially created it about 9 years ago. And now it's sold as digital downloads. But at the time, there was managing a warehouse, creating product. You know, we also have plush and CDs and games and whatnot. So I just managed it from my day job.
Great. And I can only imagine how much that has transitioned with technology. And like you said, the digital downloads versus DVDs. I'm sure you've seen quite an evolution of your business.
Oh, yes. Now, we've pivoted so many times. You know, we went from DVD to downloads. We're now doing apps. We started out where a lot of our revenue was from retail, but now they're really, you know, there's very little retail, at least brick and mortar retail. There's a lot of e-tail. We're doing very well in e-commerce,
but
each time we had to just keep changing how we sold and just stay really focused on our mission, which is to transform how young children learn a second language.
Right.
So it was really about the what and not about the how. We wanted to help kids learn a language, but how had to keep changing almost every year in my field, you know, in this language teaching field and digital media.
Well, one of my next questions I always ask is a personal strength. You know, what would you say your strengths are that keep your business strong and successful? I mean, do you think that's one of them, is that you are able to constantly evolve with technology? I mean, what would you say your main strengths are in your business?
I think two things have helped me throughout the years in business. One is being able to hold the vision of where the company's going, because I had no idea when I started my business how many twists and turns there would be, and occasional what I call snowballs to the head. You know, I have two young boys and we go to Central Park and have snowball fights, and snowballs to the head suck, right? It's cold, it hurts. You're like, whoa, what was that just hit me? But that happens frequently in business. You know, when we were in year two of our business, one of our distributors went under and took $120,000 of our money with him. And we were only like a $500,000 business at the time. So that was devastating. That was a huge snowball to the head. And, you know, every year something else comes up, you know. The reason I bring this up is that as the founder and CEO, I think you really have to be able to hold that vision for your team, that no matter what comes up, you're going to get to that place where you're going to be the number one brand in your space. In our case, it was, we wanted to be synonymous with early language learning for children. And I never let go of that vision. And I, you know, truly believed in it, although some of the snowballs to the head, you know, were a little tough. But then the second thing is team building. I am a team player by nature. And so that's something that I really enjoy. But I get so invested in the people who work for me and really help them see that I don't see them as, you know, Allison, who is the senior VP of marketing and sales. I see her as Allison, who happens to be senior VP of marketing and sales. So we do a lot of team building. I want to get to know my employees as people. What are their dreams? What are their goals? How am I going to help them get to their biggest, best self inside Little Pim and even outside Little Pim? So those are some of the things that I think helped us grow over the years and stay the course.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you kind of started talking about money and finances a little bit. And I would love to ask you if you have a financial mistake that you made in your business that you've learned from, and now our listeners can take that experience and make sure that they learn from it as well.
Yeah, I think I handed off too much responsibility to my financial people. They had all different titles. So, you know, VP of finance, controller, director of finance, we went through many different people in that role. And I think as a CEO, you always want to stay very involved in your cash flow statements, in understanding what's happening with the P&L. And even though it's tempting for someone like me to hand that off because I don't have a finance background and it's just not the part of the business I love. You know, I love the creative part, the marketing, the partnerships. There's so many things I love in the business. But unfortunately, managing the finances is not one of them. I wish I loved it more. So I did hand it off. And there was the point where one of my employees went out on maternity leave, actually. And when we looked under the hood, it turns out that we didn't have the amount of cash that we thought we had. And we needed to implement entirely new systems to manage our cash flow. And that was a brutal wake-up call. You know, I wish I had seen that earlier and didn't have to clean up the mess after. A little bit of proactive planning can help with a lot of avoid a lot of those.
So what kind of systems did you have to put in place to make sure that that doesn't happen again?
Well, having a weekly report that comes out of the finance team that shows, you know, what are the checks that went out this week? What's the balance in all the accounts? What are the upcoming expenses? And really making sure you understand every single line of that report and that it's a report that lands automatically in your inbox. You don't have to ask anyone for it. It just shows up every Wednesday. And then preferably that you sit down with your finance person and maybe your head of sales if you have one. And by the way, if you play both those roles, sit down with yourself, right? And have that meeting about, well, what do we need to have happen in the next, you know, 15 days in order to make payroll in the next 30 days or in order to invest in that new product or service that we're planning on rolling out.
Well, and I think the big takeaway you just said was automate that email so that that weekly dashboard is there. And that is key because when I was in charge of pulling that report myself, as easy as it is to pull the report, I wouldn't do it. So to automate it and have somebody send it to you is absolutely such a great takeaway.
Great. And especially if it's something that you don't love, right? Then right. You're going to be less likely to do it.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you about marketing a little bit. And given your experience and knowledge in this area, I am sure you've had to market very differently with changing from the DVDs to the apps and the, you know, the electronic downloads, things like that. What is one of your greatest marketing lessons you've learned?
I think our marketing really took off when we got uber focused on who our target customer was. We actually spent a half day on this as a team. We did a huge whiteboarding experience where we drew our target customer, you know, who for us is a mom who's sort of middle to high income, has gone to college, maybe studied a foreign language herself, maybe has lived abroad, maybe is married to someone from another country or who speaks another language, and just got really granular. We even named her. Her name was Beth. And we knew what magazines Beth read. We know where Beth shops. We know what emails she subscribed to. We know what other brands she loves. And this led us to so many great marketing ideas once we mapped this out, because we figured out that, you know, there were maybe 10 brands that were really important to Beth. And then that became our top 10 list of people to do cross-marketing with. Now, we were lucky that we were in a field where there weren't many other competitors, because not many people have created a language teaching program for kids. So we could reach out to diaper companies and companies who were, you know, sending moms information about the best ways to get their kids to sleep at night. There were all kinds of partners we could cross market with. And that doesn't cost a lot of money, right? We would send out something to our list. They would send out something to their list. And that really helped us build our customer and fan base in the early days.
Well, let me ask you, because sometimes I warn people too, if there's not any competitors in this space, that can be a negative thing. You know, it could show there's not a need for it. So how did you determine that there really was a need for this, even though you really didn't see competitors out there?
Well, we have competitors, but they tend to be in other formats. So there are companies that help kids learn Spanish through CDs, for instance.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah, it was just in terms of the multimedia approach that we were taking. But that is something that we talked about, is that we were actually creating a new category, which was a blessing and a curse, in the sense that before Little Pim existed, you had to take your child to language classes or get, you know, a foreign born or foreign language speaking babysitter in order to give them this experience. So we were kind of marketing two things at once, right? You can teach your child a foreign language at home through a multimedia series, and it should be with Little Pim. But it took us several years to get to the place where we could skip over the first part, because we, you know, had been on the market long enough that people knew, okay, you can learn a language at home with, you know, Little Pim, and then get them to buy our product.
Great. Yeah, no, I'm glad you shared that story, because I do say that a lot, that that can be risky, but you made a really good point of it was out there, just not in the format that people typically saw it. And I think the great part about that is when things are changing, times are changing with social media and everything else, if you can jump on that format in an existing field where it doesn't exist, That's amazing. A great opportunity. Yes.
And make sure that you are finding the early adopters who can buy your product, you know, even before it's become all the rage, right?
Right.
And you did a lot of work in social media and finding those Beths, you know, all over the country, so that when we did transition, for instance, from DVD to digital downloads, we had all these moms, you know, ready and waiting and excited to download our videos and download our apps.
Right.
So that made it a lot easier.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Hey guys, let me pause for just a minute and tell you about one of our sponsors, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the online accounting software that I personally use in my business. And a couple of the things that I use it for is something like invoicing. You can use FreshBooks to create and send invoices in about 30 seconds. There is no formatting, no fuss, just perfectly crafted invoice. And they also have late payment reminders. So when a client forgets to pay you on time, let FreshBooks handle the awkwardness with customizable late payment reminders. All right, now go and check out their 30-day free trial. You do not need a credit card to sign up, and you can just go to freshbooks.com/rescue and then let them know you heard about us on the Business Rescue Roadmap. So check it out. See what I use to help save my business and rescue my life every day. All right, back to the show. Well, let me ask you about your team and employees. You talked about being a team player. What is something that you feel you've mastered when it comes to delegation and outsourcing that maybe a lot of other business owners still are struggling with every day?
Well, I am the delegation queen. I have two little boys at home, as I think I mentioned earlier, and I've been running my own business for years. I also serve on nonprofit boards. So I have a really full life, and there's no way I could do it all without really good delegation skills. But that was something I had to learn. I am definitely a recovering perfectionist. I like to do everything myself in the beginning because no one would do it, you know, as well or as thoroughly as I would. But I think I got better at delegating when I realized that if I hand off a task and they do it 80% as well as I would do it, don't even look for 100%. But if I could look for 80%, what could I do with that 20% time that I got back? And that is really the exciting part. Now, wait, see, I said I wasn't good at math. That doesn't make sense. It's the 20% that I only had to work on. Sorry,
right,
I got
right.
back 80% of the time because I don't have to do the task. And what was really exciting to see is that, one, people do rise to the occasion. Even if you hand something off and it's not great in the beginning, if you're a good manager, they will eventually get it right and then some. I think sometimes we give up too early on people, right? We hand something off, it comes back in a way we don't like it, and we said, see, I shouldn't have handed that off. Only I can do it. Well, that's not the conclusion. The conclusion is you need to communicate it better. You need to maybe write up how it should be done. Maybe you haven't yet done that task yourself, so you weren't that great at telling someone else how to do it. But delegation is an art that is definitely worth mastering because it is one of the key ingredients to growing your company. I actually write about that a lot in Million Dollar Women and also on my blog at juliapimsler.com. I have two blog posts right now. One's called Go From Overwhelmed to Super Productive, and the other one is called Delegate Your Way to the Top. And both give a lot of tips about getting started delegating if that's an area that you think you need help with.
Yeah, and I talk a lot about the same type of stuff with productivity. And one thing I always tell people too is somebody might not be able to do it as well as you, but when you're so overwhelmed and so busy, you're not doing it as well as you could be in the first place. So by giving somebody else that project, they sometimes surpass the quality that we would be putting into it.
That's a great point, Stacey. And the other thing about being a good team player is that you should be constantly looking for ways for people on your team to grow and stretch themselves. And this is one of the ways. If you hand off something that is going to stretch them a little bit, that's a win-win. Now they feel excited at work because they're learning how to do something new, and you just freed up some time that you can use for going and finding that next big partner.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
Well, I mentioned before being a lifelong learner. So I think that the number one thing is the learning aspect. But I would also say that it's constantly being at the edge of kind of fear and opportunity. You know, I think every day I'm doing something that I'm a little bit afraid of, you know, even launching this online masterclass, right? I've never done that before. And there's a part of me that there has a lot of questions about, you know, how is it going to go and how's the technology going to work? And there are parts that are making me nervous. But one of my mantras, and I shared 10 mantras in Million Dollar Women, because turns out that a lot of women running successful businesses, we have mantras that we live by to kind of get through. And one of my main ones is have the fear, do it anyway. because I'm not a fearless person. And I actually don't even believe people who say they don't have fear. I think we all have fear. The question is, do you let that stop you? So I like to acknowledge the fear and say, well, that must mean I'm doing something worthwhile, right? It's going to stretch me, and then just keep moving anyway.
Yeah, the fear, the stretching part is absolutely where I'm going when I'm trying to set goals. I'm not setting a goal that I know I'm going to hit. I'm trying to stretch it just a little bit out of my reach to really keep pushing me forward.
But it makes you a little nervous, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think when you're vocal about those goals too, I mean, that's another thing I do is I tell people my goals. So that makes it even more nerve-wracking when you say, hey, I want to do this. And if I don't hit it, I don't want that embarrassment or that fear of being a failure. So yeah, I think all of that just ties into exactly what you're saying about fear.
And that's a great strategy, actually, to say your goals out loud to other people, because first of all, it makes you in it with them a little bit. Now you have people kind of cheering you on, and you know, you'd be surprised. Sometimes you tell someone you have a goal and the next day you get an email from them like, you really should talk to my friend Victor. Like, he did exactly that and he could give you some great advice. And you never would have had that conversation, right? If you hadn't told the person.
Yeah. And I find that happens very often.
I love that.
Well, let me ask you, in today's world of technology, do you have a go-to online tool that you use, whether it's a project management system, storage solutions, just any kind of tool that helps run your business every day?
Sure. At Little Pym, we transitioned a couple of years ago to Box. And it's sort of like a more professional version of Dropbox. I use Dropbox still, and I really love it. But Box allows various people to edit the same document at once. You can see who was last in your document, what their edits were. It has a great tagging system. We've been really happy with Box.
Great. I've never heard of that, so I'm glad you mentioned it.
It's really great, especially now that I'm not in the business anymore. I actually put a new CEO in place at Little Pym so that I could work full-time on helping women scale up their businesses through Million Dollar Women. And I can still access everything about the entire company through Box from wherever I am in the world. So that's terrific. The other thing I love right now as a working mom is Handy, which allows you to book cleaners to come to your house. And it can be on as short notice as like 24 hours before. That's been a big game changer for me, just as, you know, someone juggling so many different things. I find whatever you delegate frees up more time to do your biggest and best work. And sometimes for women, we've got to get rid of those personal tasks that can just be such a time suck.
Yeah, and I love asking that question because I always get different answers. So both of those I've never heard of. So I'm glad that you mentioned it. I will put those in the show notes for everybody as well so they can feel free to check that out. But it's just great to hear successful entrepreneurs, what tools they're using. So thanks for sharing.
Sure.
My last question for you is if you could give one solid piece of advice to an entrepreneur who, and maybe they're not even an entrepreneur yet, maybe they're thinking about starting and committing to win, like I said in the beginning, what would you share with them when things are getting tough or they're not sure if this is really for them? What would you like to share with them?
You know, I believe you can start from anywhere and become the owner of a multi-million dollar business. One of the reasons I wrote Million Dollar Women was to share more stories of women who did just that. I traveled around the country and interviewed women who are running businesses that started from nothing. They didn't have husbands on Wall Street. They didn't have a trust fund. They just decided to start a business and got it up into the multi-millions. And most of them didn't go to business school and didn't have a huge pot of gold they could draw from. So I think the main message I would have is that you can start from anywhere and still be successful. And not only even if you fail, maybe it's sometimes because you fail that you can be successful. If you can get over a setback, you're much more likely to be a strong entrepreneur and to be able to be that vision holder that I talked about earlier and take a few snowballs to the head, because there's no getting around that. No successful entrepreneur has had an easy time of it. It just doesn't exist. So when I get to feeling low, I read stories about other entrepreneurs who overcame great hardship and managed to build or in some cases rebuild their businesses. I will share one brief story that Denise Wilson, who I profiled in my book, was a school teacher. And she was an oboist. And at about age 28, she decided she wanted to learn to fly. She was just really intrigued by flying. So she got her pilot license and she started doing private flights as a pilot. And then 9/11 happened and the airline industry just took a nosedive and she lost her job. And she decided to create a private jet company where she's leasing out jets and became one of the few women owners of a private jet company. She didn't even raise any money. She just worked out a system where she paid the pilots after she was paid. And this is now about a $20 million annual in revenues company based out in Palm Springs. And I just love her story because when she decided to start her company, she literally Googled how to start a company. That's where it all started.
Gotta love Google, right?
Absolutely. So I share, you know, six other stories like that in Million Dollar Women. And these are women who inspired me and I hope will inspire other women if they ever feel low or if they just want, you know, a shot of inspiration about thinking big.
Yeah. And I've noticed that a lot of the people that I talk to, sometimes the more successful they are, the more failures they have to share. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think it's the failures that teach you the most, right? If you just win every single time, you don't learn anything about yourself.
Right.
So each time we fail, we learn something. I mentioned the distributor who went under and took $120,000 of our money with him. What I didn't mention is that I had signed the agreement with him without showing it to my lawyer. And in the agreement, we were not protected. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we lost all that money. So that was a really hard lesson learned. But every other important contract from there forward got shown to the lawyer.
Right. Lesson learned for sure.
Indeed.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being here. And before we leave, if my listeners wanted to check out Million Dollar Women or anything else, your class that you just talked about, where can they find you? Any websites or social media?
It's all on juliapimsleur.com. So JULIAPIMSLEUR. And under speaking, you've got my upcoming engagements if you want to try to come hear me or work with me. Has the masterclass and some of the other workshops that I'll be doing to teach women to fundraise. I love to hear from other women entrepreneurs, so please do be in touch. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn. Please do get in touch and consider my masterclass if you have a business and feel like you're ready to take it to scale and get to that $1 million mark.
Great. Well, I will make sure to include all of those in the show notes for everybody so they can check it out. And again, thank you for being here, Julia. It has been a pleasure talking with you and thank you for sharing your expertise with us today.
I loved it, Stacey. Thank you for all you're doing to help women get ahead. I'm a huge fan.
Hey, before you go, I want to ask you, do you love listening to the Business Rescue Roadmap? Would you like to work with me one-on-one? If so, go to stacytushel.com/coaching. For a limited time, I have a few spots each week. I take on less than one client every day where I help you save your business and rescue your life, and I help you design your own personal business rescue roadmap. I hope you check it out, stacytushel.com/coaching.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit stacytushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.